Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 16. The chapter is entitled Narada Instructs the Purchators. Please repeat. Etat Padam Taj Jagat Atmana Param Sakrit Vibhatam Savitur Yata Prabha Yata Savok Jagrati Supta Shaktayo Travya Kriya Jnana Bida Pramatyaya Etat, this cosmic manifestation. Padam, place of habitation. Tat, that. Jagat Atmana, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param, transcendental. Sakrit, sometimes. Vibhatam, manifested. Savitu, of the sun. Yata, as. Prabha, sunshine. Yata, as. Asava, the senses. Jagrati, become manifest. Supta, inactive. Shaktaya, energies. Travya, physical elements. Kriya, activities. Jnana, knowledge. Bida Brahma, differences from misunderstanding. Atyaya, passing away. Translation. Just as the sunshine is non-different from the sun, the cosmic manifestation is also non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality is therefore all-pervasive within this material creation. When the senses are active, they appear to be part and parcel of the body. But when the body is asleep, their activities are unmanifest. Similarly, the whole cosmic creation appears different and yet non-different from the Supreme Person. Please repeat. Just as the sunshine is non-different from the sun, the cosmic manifestation is also non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality is therefore all pervasive within this material creation. When the senses are active, they appear to be part and parcel of the body. But when the senses are asleep, their activities are unmanifest. Similarly, the whole cosmic creation appears different and yet non-different from the Supreme Person. Purport. This confirms the philosophy of Achincha Beda Abeda Tattva, simultaneously one and different, propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is simultaneously different and non-different from this cosmic manifestation. In a previous verse, it has been explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the root of a tree, is the original cause of everything. It was also explained how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervasive. He is present within everything in this material manifestation. Since the energy of the Supreme Lord is non-different from Him, this material cosmic manifestation is also non-different from Him, although it appears different. The sunshine is not different from the sun itself, but it is simultaneously also different. One may be in the sunshine, but he is not on the sun itself. Those who live in this material world are living on the bodily rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they cannot see him personally in this material condition. In this verse, the word Padam indicates the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. As confirmed in Ishapanishad, Ishavasya Idam Sarvam, the proprietor of a house may live in one room of the house, but the entire house belongs to him. A king may live in one room in Buckingham Palace, but the entire palace is considered his property. It is not necessary for the king to live in every room of that palace for it to be his. He may be physically absent from the rooms, but still the entire palace is understood to be his royal domicile. The sunshine is light, the sun globe itself is light, and the sun god is also light. However, the sunshine is not identical with the sun god, Vivasan. This is the meaning of simultaneously one and different, Achinchabeda Beda Tattva. All the planets rest on the sunshine, and because of the heat of the sun, they all revolve in their orbits. On each and every planet, the trees and plants grow and change colors due to the sunshine. Being the rays of the sunshine is non-different from the sun. Similarly, all the planets resting on the sunshine are non-different from the sun. The entire material world is completely dependent on the sun, being produced by the sun, and the cause, the sun, is inherent in the effects. Similarly, Krishna is the cause of all causes, and the effects are permeated by the original cause. The entire cosmic manifestation should be understood as the expanded energy of the Supreme Lord. When one sleeps, the senses are inactive, but this does not mean that the senses are absent. When one is awakened, the senses become active again. Similarly, this cosmic creation is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. When the cosmic manifestation is dissolved, it is in a kind of sleeping condition, an inactive state. When the cosmic manifestation is active or inactive, the energy of the Supreme Lord is always existing. Thus, the words appearance and disappearance apply only to the cosmic manifestation. Amagina Timirandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurimalitamina Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani. Etat padam taj jagat atmana param sakrit vibhatam savitoyata prabha yatasavo jagrati supta shaktayo dravya kriya jnana bida brahmatyaya. Just as the sunshine is non-different from the sun, the cosmic manifestation is also non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality is therefore all-pervasive within this material creation. When the senses are active, they appear to be part and parcel of the body, but when the body is asleep, their activities are unmanifest. Similarly, the whole cosmic creation appears different and yet non-different from the Supreme Person. Hare Krishna. Good morning. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very nice part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. At least I enjoyed it, reading through the section yesterday. In that here Narada Muni, who is preaching to the Prachetas, is not beating around the bush. This means that he's not going around in circles. He's going directly to the point. So in the last few verses, he's been talking about Krishna. He's been talking about devotional service to Krishna. And if you don't do, if we don't do devotional service, everything else is useless. So this is a direct instruction. We spent most of last year hearing about Prachinabharishat. That was a large chunk of the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That was Narada Muni preaching to Prachinabharishat. And there's two names, Paranjana as well. And that was a lot of analogies and descriptions, and it was really kind of circling the point. It took a long time to, you know, what's really the essence. So here Narada Muni, obviously he did that for a reason, I'm not, you know, not a criticism, but this is a different situation. So here Narada Muni is being very, very direct. Unless we worship Krishna, everything's useless. And Prabhupada used to give that analogy of a check. They don't use them in Europe anymore. They still have them in England. A check is a piece of paper, those who don't know what it is. And it's from your bank, and you write on it. Actually, you can write a check on anything. At least in England, you can write a check on a cow. Somebody once made a check out on a cow. They gave it to the bank. They're very happy. So you write on a piece of paper, please give this amount of money to this person. So Prabhupada used to say, well, all of the material universe, it's all of the qualities and good things and bad things and everything in the universe, it's like all the zeros on the check. It's like all the, right? So if you have a lot of zeros on a check but you don't have any numbers in front, it's worth nothing. You put the one in front and it's worth a lot of money. Well, depending on how many zeros there are. So tapasya, austerity, dana, charity, all of these things that are described, jnana, knowledge, all of these things that are good in one sense are useless unless they're connected with Krishna. And this is something that in the Hare Krishna movement we need to be careful of, that we don't get too much caught up in details. And forget about what the point is. What is the purpose of our activities? What is the goal? So this is one of the, I think it's Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Instruction. There's this, I can't remember the word offhand, but I think it's, is it Niyamagraha? No. There's two things. One is if you follow the rules and regulations too strictly, and one is if you abandon the rules and regulations. Nimahagraha? Yeah. Depending on whether you put a long A or a short A, right? So this is what they call the razor's edge, that we shouldn't strictly follow rules and regulations without understanding what they're for, because that's the smarter brahmanas, that's what they do. They do pujas and yantras and mantras and tantras, and they have no idea why. You see that in India. The other thing is being a hippie. You know, and just smoking dope and having sex and lots of kids running around and listening to groovy music and not following any rule or regulation and making that a principle of not following rules and regulations. So we need to learn how to follow a careful line, to follow the rules and regulations, but understanding why we're doing it. And this is very important, because if we do that, then we'll make advancement in Krishna consciousness. There's a lot of obstacles in Krishna consciousness. There's papa, which is sinful activity. This creates impurities in the heart, which block us. If anybody's, I don't know, if I've had this experience. But sometimes we come to Mangalarti and everything's wonderful and we're chanting our rounds and we're in ecstasy. And the next day we can't even get out of bed. And we have no taste, and it feels like... does anyone have that experience sometimes? Yeah? Feel like you're walking up... like, what is it, Damocles or something? You roll a ball up the hill, and it just rolls back down again. There was one guy who got... it was a kind of hellish planet. That he just... big rock, and he'd have to push it up the hill, and it would just roll down again. And he did that forever. It's not nice. So, I think it's one of the Greek stories. So we don't want to be like that, you know, just rolling balls up the hill and then just they come down again. All of the effort is for nothing. So one of the things that stops is sinful activity. We have our four regulative principles. There are many things that we shouldn't do, like killing other people, or this will block your devotional service. So those are, but we shouldn't be so discouraged in one sense if we've done some things that we shouldn't have done, some wrong things. The process of devotional service itself cleans them. So that's Shraddha to Prema. In the Madhurya Kadambini, it describes what levels. You know Shraddha to Prema? Shraddha is the faith, Prema is love of God. And there's different stages in that. Practicing devotional service, associating with devotees, becoming fixed, these things. So at a certain point, the anarthas, the bad things in the heart that are created by sin are cleaned out by the process of devotional service. I think it's anatta-nivritti. If it's just a sin, something that we shouldn't do, then that's gone to anatta-nivritti. That's the lowest stage of devotional service. Other obstacles, the other category of obstacle is aparad. And this is a worse or more difficult obstacle to overcome, particularly Vaishnava aparad and nam aparad. Vaishnava aparad means to offend a devotee. And there's different ways. Actually, the most this worries me sometimes. I think, oh my God, that Rupa Goswami gives different kinds of aparad, for a Vaishnava aparad. And the most, I mean, you know, if you hit somebody, that's an offense, right? That's obvious. But the most light offense that he gives is to not feel joy in your heart upon seeing a Vaishnava. Right? And I'm like, oh my God. I'm in trouble. Anyway, obviously each one, if you hit somebody, that's worse than thinking, oh God, not him again, or not her again. That's a lighter offense, but it still has an effect, and it'll still block us. So sometimes people get up, you know, people come to the temple, and we say, oh, don't do this, or don't do that, or behave, or, you know, you can't talk like that, or, you know. There's all these kind of rules around the place. I remember when I first came to the Hare Krishna movement, I couldn't even eat without, you know, offending somebody. Because, you know, you want to get some more prasadam, you know, you have to wash your hands, and no, you have to use the right spoon, and, you know, it's like, oh my God! Anyway, but the rules are not for no reason, but the thing is we need to understand the principles behind rules, right? If we understand the principle, then even if we don't know what the particular rule is in a particular circumstance, we'll be able to figure it out, right? So there's rules of cleanliness, there's rules of etiquette, there's rules of deity worship, chanting Hare Krishna, all kinds of things, welcoming guests. There's all kinds of things, recommendations, and the recommendations are there for a reason. Rupa Goswami, and if you want to look it up, the Hari Bhakti Vilas has a lot of rules in it, and from that Rupa Goswami, in the Nectar of Devotion, distilled a certain number of rules that we should pay attention to, because there's hundreds. Basically, but he got down to 64, and that's the Nectar of Devotion. One of them is you shouldn't wear a blue sari in front of the deities, or red. One time I asked my spiritual master, all my saris are blue and red, what do I do? And he said it's okay. he said it's because in the good old days, to make a blue or red cloth, I mean, sari is one kind of cloth, but there's, you know, you can have a blue or a dhoti. To make blue or red cloth, it's very expensive because you have to use a lot of dye. So it's opulent. One of the rules of deity worship is don't wear clothes that are more opulent than the clothes that the deity is wearing. So he said, don't worry, it's not... Because this is synthetic, you know, it's a synthetic dye. It's not opulent. It's not more opulent than anything else. So it's okay. So I was happy. I could keep my saris. And that's a good example of why we should know where rules come from and how to apply them in our Krishna consciousness. At the same time, we shouldn't get lost in the rules if we forget, coming back to this point, that because motivation is very important. Why are we doing something? Are we doing something because our grandmother told us to? Anyone have a grandmother like that? In India, everyone has a grandmother who says you should do this, and they have no idea why. Or a mother, or a father, or a husband, or a wife, somebody ordering us around. So It's always good, especially for the Western mind, it's always good. I know for myself I'm like that. If I understand why I'm supposed to do something or the effect of doing it, then I'm much more likely to do it. You get that? I don't know. Duty is in the mode of goodness. I'm not a dutiful person in the sense I won't just do it. But if somebody says because, well, yeah, come on, you know. It was like we were at this Ayurveda clinic, so we were trying to explain to the doctors that we are not interested in following authority blindly. The doctor just says, do this, and we're like, why? I want to know why. If you tell me why, Ayurveda is complicated, so they can't, you know, if you just give me a reasonable reason, it doesn't have to be, you know, everything. Why can't I leave my room? Because you'll get a cold, and if you get a cold, we have to stop the treatment. Oh. Okay, so I'll stay in the room. It's not easy, but you can do it. So the more that we understand, similarly, the more that we understand why we have rules and regulations in Krishna consciousness, the effect of the rules and regulations, the effect of not following them, then the more likely we are to do them. And that's why we have so many books. We have the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. And it's getting down to these details. So it's important. Okay. Enough on that point. This is very nice. Actually, when I read this verse, I felt very... it was a very encouraging verse. Prabhupada says in the... Well, the verse says that just as the sunshine is non-different from the sun, the cosmic manifestation is non-different from Krishna. So I thought, wow, that's cool. That means we're living in Krishna. We're living in Krishna. Actually, one time I was thinking about the body. I was studying anatomy. It's one of my penances was to study anatomy. And they go through all of, you know, how the body works and the cells. And when they were telling us about how cells work, I was like, that's the supercell. Can you see it? It's a supercell. And they're all going, yeah, Darwin, you know, the Big Bang. We're all evolved from monkeys and amoebas and like this. And I was like, no, that's Krishna. That's Krishna. And it was very interesting to see Radha Gopinath in the cells of the body. Everything, actually, it's. I have this little picture of, because the, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the supersoul is in every atom, right? The supersoul is in every, so that means the supersoul is in every cell of the body. So what, I'm not running this body. If I was running this body, I'd be in trouble. You know, we don't run our body like, you know, we have breakfast, then what? Right? I just put food in my stomach, then what? What happens then? So it disappears. We have nothing to do with that after that. Then what happens is Krishna digests it. That's the next thing that happens. So Krishna's the fire of digestion. He's the light of the sun and the moon. He's the vision. So... this is a wonderful thing if we can develop this vision. It's also in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna gives so many examples. There's actually, I was thinking the other day, there's several chapters in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna gives a list of opulences where he compares himself with things in the material universe. Right, of aquatics, I'm the shark, of mountains, I'm Meru. Well, we don't see the mountain, but... of luminous bodies, I'm the sun. We see these things all the time. You know, he's the mountains are the bones of his body, the trees are the hair on his skin. So it's not... When we have knowledge and we have a peaceful mind, it's a little trick, but to have a peaceful mind, we can see Krishna everywhere. Right, so we never have to feel separated from Krishna. One of the problems in the world is that people are lonely. Actually, in India, people don't really understand how bad it is in Europe or in the West. We try and tell them, they don't believe it. They want to drink Coca-Cola and wear baseball caps and jeans and have lots of money. But they don't understand the problems that... They think if you have lots of money, then all your problems are solved. But they don't know the price that you pay. So the price that we've paid for material opulence, at least the way it's happened in Europe and in the West in general, is that people have have become separated from each other. The Industrial Revolution. Anyway, we won't go into history, but one of the results of the Industrial Revolution is that people have been separated, right? If you need, if you want a mobile workforce, you better be able to. They have to move, right? So you're born in one village, they need you in a city, right? Because they want you to do a particular job, so you have to leave. So you can't stay with your parents. You can't stay in your village. You can't stay with your society. So, and as a result, people have become lonely. People have become isolated. And I work as a trauma therapist, so I hear people's stories about isolation, depression, and it's one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, Manda Samanda Mateo Manda Bhagya, is that people are... Actually, this verse always makes me smile, because we're in Kali Yuga, people are lazy, misguided, something else, and above all, always disturbed. So I can see that in myself, always disturbed. So the Vedic culture, the idea is that people stay together and they worship Krishna. But we don't have that opulence. There's a little band of devotees who've, you know, grabbed onto the ISKCON boat. I'm hanging onto the side. It's slipping down. So, you know, hanging onto the ISKCON boat, look, Prabhupada's there's the sails, and Prabhupada's at the helm, and, you know, going back to Godhead. So there's a few people who've managed to band together and stick together and worship Krishna, and everybody else is just floating around in the sea, really, really lost. So this is something... sometimes people become disappointed, and it's natural, we're imperfect, but become disappointed in the Hare Krishna movement. I can understand why when I listen to the stories. But then they get picked off. This is one of Maya's tricks. She picks us off. And then when we're floating by ourselves, we don't have much hope of really practicing Krishna consciousness. It's very difficult. When we stick together, it's much easier to stay on the boat. If anyone has a rope, they can throw me. I would appreciate it. I can tie it around my tummy. So, like this, Krishna consciousness is not a... It's not something that people practice alone, unless someone's very qualified. It's very difficult to chant Hare Krishna, to follow the four regular principles, to be focused on Krishna when there's so much dirty things in the heart when we're alone. This is my personal experience. When we're with devotees, then we have some hope. So you find people. We need to find people who inspire us in our Krishna consciousness. Excuse me. We need to find great souls, and there are many great souls in ISKCON. There are many great souls in the world, and it's a wonderful thing. Actually, we have a lot of opportunity. We have a lot of opportunity that we can take advantage of, and to make deposits in our spiritual bank account. So people have their material bank account; they like to put money in, keep, or a piggy bank. If you don't want to put it in a bank, you can put it in a little box. So we like to do this. We like to save up and for a rainy day. And we can save up for a spiritual rainy day by practicing Krishna consciousness. That's our spiritual box. So everyone should have a spiritual box that they're making regular deposits. Krishna's funny, because when you put one cent in, he puts a euro in. He's like that. He said, oh, come on, come on. Need to get you off the ground. So Krishna's very kind. He gives us a lot of support. And then everything is useful. So here we're hearing about how if we act without Krishna, it's useless. But when we're connected to Krishna, all our activities are useful. And that's a very comforting thought. It's another of the... difficulties of Western, modern, post-industrial civilization, or hyper-industrial civilization, is hopelessness. Right? There's no God. There's no life after death. You know, this is it. That's it. You know, some people have a nice life, and some people don't have a nice life. Some people have a terrible life. And when it's over, you're gone. And this is what people believe. This is all that they have. And they become hopeless, but when someone is taking advantage of the boat or Krishna consciousness, then they have every hope. They're no longer lost on the ocean. Like this beautiful painting. This devotee has his hands up. So we should be like that.
Help!
Get me out of here. And like Bhaktisiddhanta said, philosophy means to keep death in the front, which means that we should always be... That's actually the reason why I joined the Hare Krishna movement, because something happened that gave me a little shock, and I thought, I could have died. Actually, there's several times I could have died in my life. I don't know quite how I'm still sitting here. But anyway, Krishna kept me for a reason. Some of them since I joined the Hare Krishna movement. So. but this is hopeful, and whatever place we get to in this lifetime, don't worry, it's okay, it's not lost. If you don't make it back to Godhead in this lifetime, it's all right. It's not great, but it's all right, because that bank account doesn't disappear. Our material bank accounts are gone, you know? All the saving up and everything we collect, all the nice saris and dhotis and houses and everything, that's, you have to leave that behind. But the spiritual bank account we can keep with us. Krishna brings it along. Yoga kshema vaham yaham. He carries it with us. And the next life, then we continue from where we started. So it's never lost. It's always always building. And the more that we put deposits in it, then the more it will grow. So I better stop there, because it's getting late. I'll just read the verse again, and then if anyone has any quick comments or questions. Just as the sunshine is non-different from the sun, the cosmic manifestation is also non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality is therefore all-pervasive within this material creation. When the senses are active, they appear to be part and parcel of the body. But when the body is asleep, their activities are unmanifested. Similarly, the whole cosmic creation appears different and yet non-different from the Supreme Person. Prabhu. Well, automatic, transcendental business. Well, it's a good point. Yeah, make an investment. Well, make a useful investment. We're all, people are trying to make other kinds of investments. This is at least a good one. Yeah, no, it's true. This is the discussion actually between mercy and works. You know, how much is based on what we can do, and how much is based on the mercy of God. So my personal perspective is I'm pretty useless person, and that there's not much that I can do. I can do something. Actually, there's that nice little story when Krishna, he had, there was the fruit seller, and she brought a basket of fruits, and you seen the little Krishna video? It's really cute. Krishna, he wants some mangoes, and his father gives some grains and gets something, so he thinks, I can do that. So in his little hands, I mean, his hands are this big. So his little hands, he goes and grabs some grains, and he brings it, and it's like 5 grains. And she says, no problem, you take the whole thing. So Krishna has the... this is a very nice little story. But I feel like that. I feel like, what have I got? You know? So, but it encourages me. If I think, well, I'm a useless person and there's nothing that I can do. Everything, I'm a very insignificant little creature. But if I think if I give a little bit, Krishna will top up the rest, then I feel encouraged. Otherwise, I kind of like, well, maybe it's pointless. Yeah, that's Krishna. You give him a mango, he gives you a diamond. He's funny like that. One time when I was a young devotee, I'm still a young devotee, when I was, you know, a few years ago, I heard this principle that if you give something, you get something back. And I thought, okay, that sounds cool. So I had some old saris, and I thought, if I give them to somebody, I'll get some sort of saris back. And I actually had this idea. It was really embarrassing. So I gave away my saris, and nothing came back. I didn't get any saris back. After I was thinking, that didn't work. It was very funny. Anyway, I learned a lesson. Krishna sometimes, he doesn't do it in a direct way, or it's not, sometimes he teaches you a lesson. You see, if we think I'm going to do that, and
yeah,
I'm going to get something back, he says, no. Because he's called Hari. And Hari means the one who takes away. So sometimes he gives and sometimes he doesn't. Hare Krishna, sorry. Oh, he's the best. Yeah. What have you got behind your back? Have you got a diamond? I'll give you 100 diamonds if you give me that one. And you're like, no. I don't believe that much. There's a story. Actually, it reminds me of a story. There was one, I won't drag it out, but there was one man hanging off. He was walking along a cliff, and he was hanging off he fell off the cliff. And he was hanging onto the cliff by a bush. Right? So at times like this, one starts to pray because there was no one around. So he was thinking, oh God, please save me. He was hanging there, no one's around. And the bush is not very, it's a dry one, you know. It's one of these, it's just sitting there, so it's, you know, not very strong. And he's really praying really, really sincerely. And an angel appears. Cool. So the angel's like, you know, got his little wings hanging in front of him. And he looks at the man. And the man's like, oh, great, thank you. Woo! Thank you so much, you're going to come and you save me. And the angel is like, you really believe that I can save you? And the man goes, yeah, I believe it. You must be very special. I mean, an angel appeared, right? Special person. And the bush is pulling out of the cliff. And the angel looks at him and he says, you really believe that I can save you? And the man goes, yeah, I believe it. Yes. And he's pulling out and he's like, ah. You really believe that I can save you? I believe it! The angel says, okay, let go. It's the end of the story. People go, and? When I tell the story, what happened? No, the point is, the punchline, let go. So we're hanging on to our material. Exactly. So we're hanging on to our, you know, a little bank account or a little something. So Krishna's like that. You really believe I can save you? Yeah, I believe it. Will you give me everything? We're like, everything? Do I have to give everything? Maybe, like, you know, we'll make deposit. So that's the deposit method. You give a small amount and build it up. Anything else? Yeah, Dharani? Positive approach, yes. We should take a positive approach. One of my godbrothers once asked Shivaram Swami, should we meditate or should I meditate on my anartas? And Maharaj said, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's not the International Society for Anarta Consciousness. He said, no. Don't think about your problems, think about Krishna. Rupa, do you want to? Yes. Yes, but yes, we should do it. The highest is we do it with love. If you can't manage that, at least do it. That's my, because you're right, that's my mentality. I'm thinking if I do it, I'll get something back. So I do it. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. No. I think you can say better. Why are we not? Why are we not joyful upon seeing a Vaishnava? Yeah, it's a trick. That's a difficult one because we have four defects. We have four. We cheat. We have imperfect senses. We get an illusion. And there's something else. We make mistakes. Yeah. So, and this is Kali Yuga. The age of Kali Yuga means quarrel and hypocrisy. So that's, if we don't fight and we're not cheating, then there's something special going on. That's the standard of the age. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, we bring all of that with us. I bring all my bad qualities with me. And then we bump into each other. It's not, the center is not Krishna, the center is ourselves. So anyway, this is a quick... basically, we... Example is, when I was a kid, I had some friends, we used to visit them regularly, and they always had bowls full of very smooth, very pretty rocks. It's like mirror, but like this, shiny like this. And I was always fascinated with these rocks, and I was like, where did you get them from? It's from the beach. I was like, well, you know, kids like stones, don't ask me why. I said, well, but they said, no, you have to process them. Oh, how do you do? So what they had was a little machine like a washing machine. And it didn't do anything, it just turned them around. So you put the stones from the beach in this machine and just turn it on and it spins. Right? So what happens is the rocks, they're hitting each other. Bang, 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 bang. And if you leave it for 10 hours or something like that, you open, I don't know how long it takes, but you maybe they put some water in or sand or something. They put the, but from this abrasion, when you open the thing, they come out and they're beautiful, like green and blue and purple. They're wonderful colors even. And so we're a little bit like that, that we become, well, if we're lucky, we can become beautiful by this interaction. But it's not, it doesn't mean it's not going to be pleasant. But the thing that helps me, I mean, one of the things that helps me is before and after shots. I mean, at least for myself. I know what I was like before I was a devotee. And then I look in the mirror and go, wow, you cleaned up. You know, that's better. Even photographs. I don't know if anyone has any old photographs, like passport photographs or something like that. Just checking out. It's like, oh my God. What a horrible haircut. So, you know, if we can think... well of ourselves, that where we've come from and where we are now. I find that helpful for myself. That devotees are not perfect. We make mistakes. We do all kinds of funny things. We have books written about the funny things that we've done. And but when we know where someone's come from, then we can appreciate them. You know, like they've made progress. They're not where they were. As a therapist, I hear people's stories. I don't tell anybody about the stories I hear, but I hear people's stories. And because we're in the community, we see each other. And I'm like, you know, I see somebody doing something a bit strange, but I know their story, and I think, wow, they're actually doing really well. So that personally helps me. So I see them being a little funny, and we do have funny people. They're being a little funny, or a bit odd, or a bit angry, or... But, you know, they're doing a lot better than they used to do. So that's a practical thing that helps me personally. But it is, when I first heard that it's an offense not to feel joy in your heart, that made my heart stop. I was like, Okay, I need to, that's something. It's easy not to hit somebody. At least hopefully it's easy not to hit somebody or kill them, because that's one of the levels of aparad. Or to shout at them, or to use bad language, or other things. But to have this really sincere, well-wishing, you know, trying to help each other, good feeling, that's a little more tricky. So something we need to work on, something I need to work on. Is that any good? Okay, we better stop there. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.